You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. Our contact information is always on the web. It is equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And via the phone, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Just a couple of testimonies and then right to the calls. As the ministry increases its reach, people are being touched all over the world. Whether it's Amman, Jordan, whether it's Ethiopia, Singapore, China, people are being reached, equipped always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. And we're able to do what we do because you do what you do, and that is stand with us prayerfully and financially. As mentioned, all this month, June is one of those seminal months in our calendar year in that this is the end of our fiscal year, and we're usually trying to catch up, and that is once again the case this June, and we need many of you to stand with us prayerfully and financially so that we continue doing what we do, but also expand what we do around the world. Here's a testimony by Scott. By God's grace and the Holy Spirit, I've been listening to this broadcast for 15 years. The truth, candor, and calmness, the biblical interpretation, it's all so beautiful to me. Additionally, to those of you who are co-workers behind the scenes that help make the broadcast so treasured and first class, thank you. And then one more from Andy. Thank you. Just wanted you to know that you're helping so many. I thank God for you and always remember you and everyone at CRI in my prayers, all your listeners. This is why I support you. And again, when someone mentions that they pray for us, it is not something that goes over my head or passes by without any recognition or impact. It is an absolute treasure to me that people pray for me and for this ministry outreach. And as I've said, and I hope this doesn't sound trite, prayer is firing the winning shot. Thank you for what you do to support this ministry. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Jim, listening in Iowa. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, my question is, if someone steals something from you, should you just forget it and let it go? Because maybe sometime you could always ask them to come to church, and if you get them in trouble, it's not likely they're going to come.
Well, I think it's brilliant on your part, because I think this is what's often referred to as the great inversion between the human order and the kingdom order. The human order says you return harm for harm. The kingdom principle is always you return good for evil. So the larger context is, am I being the kind of person that Jesus is constantly asking me to be through his illustrations? And am I the kind of person that Jesus's illustrations are illustrations of? So I think what you've said is absolutely right on target.
Well, if this person's stealing stuff from you, let it go, and they just keep stealing, pretty soon, how much do you let them get by with?
Yeah, well, see, I think if you look, for example, at the Sermon on the Mount is not intended to tell you that you're to allow people to make you a doormat or to abuse you. Rather, it's seeking to communicate what you first alluded to, and that is the kingdom order is a different order from the human order, but certainly, if someone is involved in gross negligence or in robbing you and they do it with premeditation, they are best off if you will invoke the kind of penalty that is necessary for them to come to a true valuation of things, if indeed they ever will. But the whole idea, again, is to bring to bear the kingdom of God now in your life and vicariously in the lives of others.
So let's say they just stole a bunch of your tools. That's what I'm getting at. So you just forget it then?
No, I'm saying that you should not forget it. The big issue is to bring the principles of the kingdom to bear. And certainly if someone is robbing you, it is important for you to recognize that there is a penalty, a consequence to stealing. But your motivation is always that you want to help others, and through that, by giving the cup of cold water, by giving the piece of bread, by giving the tools to someone that needs it, you are then demonstrating the love of Christ, and it does give you an opportunity then to speak about the kingdom of Christ.
See, my ideal is if they steal something from you and you forget it and you let it go, and then or you don't, and then after a while you ask them to come to church, if you got them in trouble for stealing your stuff, they're not likely to come. That's why I was wondering if you should just forget it the first time.
Well, I don't think you should just forget it. I think this gives you an opportunity to talk to the person about what they've done. And if you find out that they're in great need, it may give you an opportunity to help them in that need, but also to bring the principles of the kingdom to bear. And the principle of the kingdom is thou shalt not steal. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tanya in Fort Wayne, Indiana next. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, if you've been praying to God for something specific, and you've been praying for quite a while about this thing, if you believe that God has told you something specifically to do, do you believe that you can delay your blessing?
Well, I don't think that is how God works. I don't think that God is a capricious God, that if you come up with the right formula that you somehow or other are going to get or extract from God what you need. What you have to recognize is that your Father who is in the heavens, which is a way of saying that God is not only transcendent, but he is immanent. He is one who cares for every need that you have. In fact, there's not a hair that can fall from your head that he doesn't care about it. So the whole idea of prayer is not extracting things from God, but developing a relationship with the lover of your soul out of which everything else flows. So I think the real issue is, Lord, if it be your will, because God knows what's best for you. There are all kinds of things we pray for that in the end we find would not have been good for us anyway. And that's what we must always bear in mind, that God sees the panoply of our lives. We see snapshots along the way, and those snapshots aren't enough. And so we look at God who knows the end from the beginning, and we say, Father, this is what I would like, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And not only that, but your timing. So if my kids were constantly nagging me for things, particularly things that I didn't think was good for them, it would show a breach in relationship. I think it's much more analogous to our relationship with God that our kids would recognize that we want to do what's best for them. And once they recognize that, they don't have to nag us anymore because they know that every one of their needs are going to be met with consideration from an earthly father. So it is a matter of doing it in the sense that God wants us to do it in.
Okay. Okay. It's something that I believe God wants us all to have, which is love, a companion, a helpmate. Do you believe that God doesn't want someone to have that?
Or? No, I'm not saying that, but if you're honest with yourself, there are probably a lot of people that you prayed for as a companion that you would look back at 5 years hindsight and you say, wow, I'm glad God didn't pay any attention to that prayer.
Well, I know better than to pray for someone specifically, you know.
Well, but I'm not even suggesting that you can't.
What God wants for me, so it's not a specific person, but just what I've read in the Bible about God said it's not good for man to be alone and so on and so forth. So if that's a desire in my heart and I pray for that thing, then would God not want me to have that?
No, I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have that. I'm saying that as you pray to God, you say, Lord, your will be done because you know what is best for me. I'm also saying that prayer is not a magic formula to get things from God. communicating with God in prayer is itself the prize. So the reward for secret prayer is the prayer itself, the blessing of resting in the providence and the presence of our Heavenly Father. And that is what we should know about prayer. Prayer does not simply maintain the Christian life. It is the Christian life reduced to its barest essence. And I think the tragedy of contemporary Christianity is that we measure the success of our prayer life by the size and scope of what we get or our accomplishments rather than the strength of our relationships with God. So all too often we're fixated on our outwardness while God is focused on our inwardness. And I think that's the basic issue. We want instant formulas, but God wants intimate fellowship. So we want to pray for a fiery chariot, as someone has well said, in the morning and be riding to church in it by nightfall. But the reality is we rarely pray for fire and open our eyes to find a box of matches in our hands. I've written about this in The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, that book available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In our post-truth age of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with answers has never been greater. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide those answers, and this provision is made possible only by people like you. People unafraid to stand up for truth while it's under assault. People like you whose contributions to our many outreaches are making a difference for time and eternity. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Thank you. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth
along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how's it going? I just had a quick question about conflict resolution between Christians and the church. Like, for example, if somebody, even in leadership, was gossiping and, like, I confronted them, talked to them about it in a nice way, but they just, everything you say, they say, no, I didn't. And there's plenty of witnesses. How far do you go? Like, how do you see that to the end?
Yep. Well, you know, that question is answered step by step in Matthew chapter 18. These are the words of Jesus. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, well, then you've won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And then, says Jesus, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And further, if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector, because now you're dealing with someone who is not invoking the principles of the kingdom, but is demonstrating by action that they are, in fact, one who is aligned with human principle instead. And that's why Jesus says you can treat them as a pagan or as a tax collector. The passage again starts in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. And again, this is all about invoking the principles of the kingdom. We do not merely live by a human set of principles or standards. We live by a higher standard, and that higher standard is the kingdom principles that Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount and elsewhere throughout the Bible. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Beth, Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Hank. I need some clarification on Hebrews 6, 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to fit with other things in the gospel as far as God's grace, and I think about the prodigal son. So just wanted your thoughts on those verses.
Yeah, I mean, this has to do with a Hebrew who falls away. And this falling away again, then, in context of Hebrews, written to Hebrews or Jews, has to do with the Jew or Jews who fall back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which is already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Hebrews talks about this in various ways. For example, if you go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, it is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So it is a failure to recognize that Jesus is the one who fulfills all the civil and ceremonial laws, the one who is the ultimate sacrificial lamb, the one who is the living temple in their midst. And so those who fall back into bondage to the law demonstrate that they had a said faith. In other words, they said they believed, but in actuality, they didn't believe at all. So it is highlighting the difference between what I like to call a professing Christian, someone who makes a profession, and a possessing Christian, someone who actually possesses a relationship with the Lord of glory.
Okay, so somebody who professed it but never really lived it?
Well, in this case, again, there's a context, and the context is Hebrews is written to Jews, and it is a warning, in essence, to not fall back into the trap of keeping the law, which has already been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, the law has purposes. The law is not just the law. There are various purposes to the law. So I'm not talking about the law in the sense of the Ten Commandments, but I'm talking about the law in the sense of civil and ceremonial laws that were pointing forward to Jesus Christ, or more specifically, even temple, priest, and sacrifice, to go back to those rituals when the sacrificial lamb has come is an indication that you don't really believe that the sacrificial lamb fulfilled all the law and the prophets.
Okay, that makes sense.
Good.
Thank you very much.
You got it, Beth. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Brenda. She's listening in Flint Hill, Missouri. Hi, Brenda.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Hank.
Pleasure.
I enjoy your show. I'm driving my car after work every day. I listen to it on the way home. I need your advice.
Yeah.
I am a Christian. I have been for almost 30 years. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home with a lot of abuse, physical and emotional. I have a sister, an older sister, and a younger brother who have not been able to forgive my parents. My brother is an alcoholic, and my sister, I believe, is alcoholic, and she does street drugs. We got together for the first time in 7 years this past Christmas, but a lot of people were around, so there's nothing personal talked about, you understand? And then my husband and I, our daughter got married 2 weeks ago, and my sister came again, my brother was there. So what I'm asking is, this is going to be the first time that my sister, my brother, my parents, and I are going to be alone.
Hmm.
I've been praying for almost 30 years for my family.
Hmm.
My brother and my father are extremely prejudiced people, and I don't know what to do. I've been trying to you know, go by what I feel that God is telling me, you know, by example, you live your life, this will be a good thing. But my question is, do I approach them about any, you know, I'm very nervous about this, and I want to do the right thing, what Christ would want me to do.
Yeah.
And everything, you understand, and I'm so excited because I believe my prayer has been answered, because I thought I'd never even see my sister again.
Mm.
And, you know, and Christmas was the first time in 7 years.
Wow.
And she, you know, and she is in very poor health, on oxygen now. And she needs a lung and a heart transplant because of all the drugs and stuff. So I want salvation for my family really bad, but I know that's something that they have to come to terms with God with. And I'm very fearful that they won't find it, especially
yes.
my sister. And so I was wondering what advice you could offer me.
Well, Brenda, I think that you need to simply rest in the Lord, recognizing that the testimony of your love and the testimony of your lips is a very powerful force. It is a kingdom force, and it penetrates darkness. If the Lord gives you an opportunity to use the testimony of your lips as well, all the better, but you have a testimony. You have the peace of Christ that you bring into that circumstance. And you're absolutely right to say that you can't change anybody's heart. Only the Holy Spirit does that. So you have to rest in that. You have to rest in praying for your family and recognizing that for reconciliation to take place between parents and children always requires that there's someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. And without those two, reconciliation doesn't take place. And so you can't force someone to want to be forgiven. You can, however, pray, and you are seeing the realization in some sense to your prayers because you're all going to be together. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think just to rest in the Lord now, don't feel like you have to do anything extraordinary. Just be there radiating the love of Jesus Christ, and being a representative of the kingdom may open all kinds of doors for conversation, and just walk through those doors as the Lord opens them.
Okay. I felt like that I should, I mean, I really have felt like by my example, because I call my sister about every 2 weeks now, because I don't want her to feel smothered, you know, and you know, I've shared some things about, you know, how I've been able to mom and dad, and then I have peace about that, you know, and then I had gotten Christian counseling for it, and that what peace I find in my life through Christ. But, you know, they kind of snicker at me, you know, and they think I don't live in a real world, and
Well, you don't live in a real world. You live in a world that has been invaded by the kingdom of heaven. And so it is not just the existence that they're comfortable with or they even seem to comprehend. But you have seen that there is an invasion of kingdom principles in this world, and you're living this out in their presence. So it's not as much what would Jesus do in this circumstance, but it is what would Jesus have me do in this circumstance. And I think ultimately what I've said earlier applies. Rest in his grace, in his peace. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. The issue is never evangelism. The issue is being equipped for evangelism. And I can tell you, based on the loving way in which you have expressed concern, that you are equipped, ready to testify by your life and your love, and if God adds the testimony of your lips, even better. But I think you are a great example, and you will be the light of Jesus Christ shining in that dark place. And we hope and pray by God's grace that that light will penetrate their hearts. But again, we can't violate the human will. People have to want to be forgiven, want reconciliation, not only with God, but also with others. Brenda, thank you for your example, and may God add his blessing to your testimony and that circumstance as it comes together in the near future. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. Yet an encounter with Christians in the underground church of China left Hanegraaff contemplating his Christian experience. They were experiencing something beyond truth. They were experiencing life. Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God. Prepare to move past intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.